Welcome back, everyone. This is Laser Graves, a podcast about 80s related...
Sorry.
Okay.
80s related what?
All right.
No, just go with it.
I am your co-host, EK Wimmer.
Hey, EK Wimmer. I'm Mariah Rose.
And happy holidays to our listeners, if you're listening to this as it comes out. Otherwise, this is probably awkward.
I mean, we hope your next holidays coming are good.
Yeah.
Even if they're almost a year away.
But this is our Christmas episode.
Yeah.
So we made it. I'm definitely ready to be done with Christmas episodes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited to go towards the new year. But we decided to do a big one this week, and we'll see how this one goes. But in addition to this being our Christmas episode, we have a bigger announcement, and that is... this is also our one-year anniversary.
Oh, how weird that we did it right at Christmas time.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. We started it right before the new year last year.
Yeah.
So this is officially 1 year of Laser Graves, and I think this is episode 55. So 55 episodes.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy.
That is a lot.
It's a ton. And, you know, there's times... it's kind of like when you're... friends with somebody, like good friends with somebody, there's moments when you realize you haven't been friends that long, and other times you feel like you've been friends forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this podcast is.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes we've been doing this forever, and then other times I'm like, man, we haven't even gotten started yet.
Well, I think it's because we've had so many locations. It's like when you take trips with friends, you're like, well, we've been to all these places together. We have a long friendship. First, we started upstairs in the studio, then we were in the closet, now we're out here in the garage.
The glory days. Our very first episode was Night of the Comet. So for you new listeners, thank you for listening, and if you want to start at the beginning, Night of the Comet was our first official one, and we did that recording in a tiny closet that we have crammed in there, microphones, equipment, chairs, everything else, and we recorded... a good chunk of episodes in quite a while until we moved out here into the cold garage.
I think we moved here in the summer when it wasn't cold.
Yeah, but those were the good old days. Look how far we've come.
So far.
Major upgrades.
Just all kinds of migration around our home.
Yeah. Anyway, that's exciting, though. I'm really having fun.
Well, and happy anniversary.
Thanks. So that's it. That's 1 year. And 1 year we've also been doing thrift store finds, so...
yeah, approximately. Well, I think it was kind of right from the start, but also it became like a thing that we do.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I would have to go back and listen. I feel like we started it from day one, but we might have been a couple episodes in.
I think there were a lot where I was like, no, I didn't find anything, but now I feel obligated.
Yeah, now it's just something we have to do. So do you have anything this week? What's your Christmas edition?
Finds. I got this. Actually, it's a present that I'm going to give tomorrow to our friend Annie. Hi, Annie.
Oh, she's going to be hearing it now.
Oh.
Because she listens right when they come out.
That's great. But I got her napkin rings, which sounds super dumb, I know. But they're like, they look like very authentic flora and fauna. Leaves and stuff, just very realistic and beautiful, and they're not like a thrift store find, it's more antique-y, but you know, it works.
It's secondhand still in a way.
Yeah.
Very cool find.
Yeah, what about you?
I had a couple things. One, I found a new soundtrack on vinyl for Sorcerer by Tangerine Dream, so I was pretty excited about that. My family was visiting today, my mother and my sister.
Yes.
Who, a side note, my oldest sister was very excited to come look at all my VHS because she's cool like that. And she was going through and she would be like, oh, do you have this one? And then I would have it. And she picked out her favorite movie and I was shocked to find out it was The Keep, speaking of Tangerine Dream. So that was kind of cool.
Huh.
I was very surprised by that.
What a weird thing to discover.
And then speaking of my family, my other find this week was... my bud Mike over at Bad Taste Podcast. What's up, guys? They're kind of our podcast from another mother idea. And we have had this kind of ongoing joke about this stupid film both of us haven't seen, but it keeps popping up, called Skeeter. And it's like this mid-90s, low-budget creature feature with mutant mosquitoes. And so it's been kind of this ongoing joke about if we're going to find it or not. And I finally found it this week. So
with your mom, you were thrifting.
I was thrifting with my mom and I found it. And what was hilarious is I could not contain myself and forced everybody to watch it last night.
Yeah, after the kids went to bed, you made me, your wife, your sister, and your elderly mother watch Skeeter.
And what's funny is the person least interested was you.
I straight up fell asleep. I kind of thought I'd be cool. I was like, I'm just going to stretch out on the floor because there was nowhere to lay down.
You were going down for the count.
I was like, they can't see my face. What if I just close my eyes? And then the movie was almost over. But I'd wake up occasionally to say something salty.
Or is my sister, who I've talked about in the past, she's the one that got me into like metal and took me to my first concerts and all that kind of stuff. She's cool. I knew she would be down for Skeeter. She was very excited. And then my mom surprisingly was like, well, are we going to watch Skeeter or not? And by the end...
And she crocheted, like, an entire blanket while she watched it.
She was, like, chiming in, like, Joe Bob Briggs style with, like, commentary and doing voiceovers and everything. It was a good time. I told them it has to be our holiday movie now as a family is to watch Skeeter.
Oh, good grief. I hope not.
I'm not going to spoil the fun about if it was a good movie or not.
I think that's irrelevant.
It totally does not matter. If you're putting in a movie called Skeeter and you're worried about if it's going to be good, I got news for you. It's not. Anyway.
But there are some Skeeters and a lot of storyline.
There's a ton of Skeeters. I could have done with a lot more, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my thrift store finds of the week, and I had a good time. Good. That was fun. Okay, this week, Christmas special. This is a big one. This is not technically an movie episode, but it is more of an event. Definitely more of an event. However, we're going to do kind of like if you've listened before, you want to go back and listen when we did Max Headroom. It's very similar to that, where we're going to talk about the history of, but then also talk about a specific
cinematic event.
Cinematic event, too. Okay. This week, we're going to talk about the one and only Alf, the alien that is sitting right next to you on the couch right now. We have a few stuffed animal elves laying around the studio. We both grew up on Alf as well, like most people. And this sarcastic alien is fun. However, when we first started the podcast, we thought about maybe doing an episode on Alf and just maybe picking a couple episodes we liked. And then it just didn't happen. And I'm so glad because it was meant to be.
Here we are.
We are going to not only be discussing Alf today, the history of what came of it, but a very unique and special episode, Alf's Christmas episode.
Possibly the weirdest Christmas special of all time.
Absolutely the weirdest Christmas special. It's gone down in history as being one of the most depressing and bizarre Christmas specials ever to air on public television.
Yep.
Wondering why it ever even got the green light to begin with. So this episode, we are going to try and kind of unpack some of the bizarreness. I have no answers for you because at the end, I still am kind of like completely confused as to why anybody thought this was a good idea.
And there's so many people involved.
So many moving parts. So Alf, for those of you that don't know, he first aired on NBC on September 22nd, 1986. The show ran until March 24th, 1990. Had four seasons, 99 episodes.
That's crazy.
Had a solid run. There were three special episodes. This definitely being one of them.
The most special.
Special in quotes. And Alf was pretty much a pop culture staple in the mid-80s to late-80s. And Alf really was this quirky, sarcastic, fast-talking, a comic relief. He was an alien. That's what Alf stands for, alien life form. But that wasn't his actual name. His name was Gordon Shumway, was his real name. He was from the planet Melmac. And he crash-landed in the garage of the Tanners, a suburban family. And they kind of took him up as their adoptive child alien.
Very casual about it.
So I loved Alf as a kid. I thought he was funny. He always got into these shenanigans about trying to eat the cat and just was always cracking jokes and never taking anything seriously. So the whole idea of Alf was kind of this lighthearted, fun, very quintessential 80s humor.
Yeah, it's like if you wanted to peek back into the 80s and go, what did those weirdos in the 1980s think was funny? This is it, and it won't make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. But what makes this more bizarre is the episode that we're going to be doing, the Christmas special, is where they try to give Alpha Sirius kind of tone.
An emotional quality.
An emotional core to him. And it just, it already starts off weird that way. So Alf was created by a puppeteer named Paul Fusco. And he was, you know, a solid puppeteer. He was also like a magician and so just one of those kooky guys.
Was Alf created for a show? Like this puppeteer was created or it was like a pitch, hired? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have an Alf doll and somebody was like, we got to make a show of that.
No, he kept it very secret until they were about to start filming. Okay. So nobody got to see it. He created it. He wrote it. He did the voice, all that kind of stuff. So he was heavily involved, this guy Paul. And it finally aired. It was, I mean, it really did take off pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun for a lot of people have great childhood memories of this show. It peaked at season two is when it really hit its stride. Mm-hmm. The ratings were through the roof. NBC was doing great. And so they thought, you know, we are going to have a Christmas special because that's
gotta
what
do it. That's what you do in the 80s.
All these things do in the 80s. What happened was Alf's Christmas special was created. It aired on December 14th, 1987. Also, you know, an interesting thing, because right when I was watching it, I thought, man, this looks really good. Unlike every other episode, it was actually shot on film, like a real movie, too.
Oh, they wanted it to be like...
Yeah, and it was shot on location. So you see, rarely you don't see this in Alf's series, where there's somebody in the costume running around, too. So you do get to see, like, an actual moving Alf instead of just a...
Part of a puppet.
Yeah, a puppet behind a stage. Because the creation of Alf was pretty bizarre, too. They had the whole stage was on risers so that the puppeteers could move around, like a Jim Henson project.
Mm-hmm.
There were, I think, 4 or 5 puppeteers that controlled him. I mean, it was quite a production. Pretty insane, and we'll go more into that later. But the Christmas special was directed by Bert Brickenhoff, or Brickenerhoff, I guess you'd say, and written by Stephen Hollander. He was pretty regular. These guys were all pretty common on the show. And it opens up to on location where they're driving and stuff. So let's get into what the Christmas special is.
Okay.
And then as it unfolds and turns more into... Not a David Lynch series, but something that's almost like a nightmare.
Well, it is bizarre.
We'll see how it ends with being the opposite of everything that Christmas stands for.
And Elf.
And Elf, yeah. So why don't you take us to the opening scenes?
So the whole family is on a road trip with Alf, and he's singing the 12 Days of Christmas song, but he's changed it to be about eating cats because it's Alf, and he... obviously eats cats.
You know what's weird about Alf, by the way? I hate to chime in already. Do you know that there was a kid who... This is going to set the tone for anything involved. Anybody who touched this series just only knew dread and sorrow and disaster.
What?
There was a kid who shoved a cat in a microwave. There was another kid who, like, electrocuted himself... because he was mimicking something Alf did. Like, there was just tragedy.
Well, but maybe
after
it's
tragedy.
Just a bunch of idiots that watched
Alf. Sure. But I thought of, right when this opens up with Alf singing about in different ways he can eat a cat, I just thought...
Did somebody think that was funny ever? My gosh.
Because it was 80s humor.
It's a backwards time. So the family is happily headed to a cabin. They act like it's cold. Everybody is like... bundled and shivering, but it's clearly like a hot California style day. But they enter their cabin pretending to be cold, all in sweaters and like classic Christmas stuff like flannels and snowflake
prints.
It's
like a Hallmark episode.
Yeah. But they've also, don't forget, Alf is there and he helps unload and he has packed a color TV and a microwave only to learn there's no electricity. And I guess it's supposed to be funny. And it is in a way that it's not. The dad is recounting how when he was a child, he was homeless.
It's already
He's like,
depressing.
Let me break into this little tale about how when I was a boy, I was homeless with my family. And we came to this cabin, had a great Christmas. And then starts that story. Alf breaks in. He's wearing a sweater now, and he reveals that the sweater, like, the mother discovers that the sweater is an opened present.
Right.
So Alf has rifled through the presents, and then very comically, we'll say it's comically, reveals to everybody what they got for Christmas, essentially ruining Christmas.
There is a funny little scene right here. I mean, I laughed a lot at the beginning
before mostly it got really at the absurdity dark of it all.
I did like how they were like, Alf, you don't get the meaning of Christmas. You're supposed to give gifts. And then he took everybody's gifts and just wrote "from Alf" on them. I thought that was pretty
That's
funny.
Brilliant.
Also, the dad, Willie Tanner, he talks just like Christopher Walken. Did you notice that? He's always like, Alf,
yeah,
what are you doing the gifts? Why are you changing the gifts to your name, Alf?
Okay, yeah.
I couldn't get over it.
Yeah, get it.
Also a miserable, sad sack of a human. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, what's he doing?
He has got a stick in his butt.
Something crawled up there, it died, it came out, crawled back up, and died again.
It reminded him that it was still up there, and then went back up. He is so miserable.
He's
and
just
grumpy.
Like, oh, you're having a sad day? Let me crap on that.
You want to know, since this is an event episode as well?
Mm-hmm.
He was like that on the set. He showed up for work, but he notoriously, on record, hated Alf the whole time.
Well, that was miserable
on this show.
That probably was. Like, he probably thought he was a solid thespian, and then here he is reduced to working with a puppet.
You hit it right on the head. His actual complaint was that there were, like, four people catering to this puppet that got all the funny lines, and they just had to be, like, bystanders to a puppet.
Yeah.
And his ego was so big, there was no way he wanted to share the stage with a puppet, with a wisecracking puppet. So he was resentful and miserable from day one, which is why I think he plays a miserable person. He even at one point, there's another very famous account of them having to pull him off of the puppet because he was beating it so hard because he had broke one day on set.
What?
Well, apparently the conditions were like miserable and everybody was miserable. They would film like 20 hours for like a 30-minute episode. Because it took so much work to get this animatronics going and all the puppetry. And they would just sit around and it was hot. Nobody wanted to be there. And everybody has admitted that the entire run of Alf, nobody had fun. Everybody was ready for it to be over with. And the fact that it came out so fun and heartwarming is beyond anybody's explanation.
It's because they had 20 hours, so they accidentally patchworked together heartwarming comical episodes.
I feel like they took the essence of how they felt when they were filming and packed it into this Christmas episode.
Oh, no.
Because he's already miserable, and he's already telling how he was homeless and had nowhere to live.
Yes, and also Alf brings in what he says is mistletoe, and they discover it's poison ivy, and it's like, wah, wah, wah.
And then he banishes Alf to the forest. He's like, go take this out.
Yeah, go out to the forest, bye.
He's just so mean.
And then time, like, straight up passes. It's a very long time before they go, what happened to Alf after we sent him outside? So Alf goes outside, and right as this is happening, Mr. Foley stops by. Mr. Foley is, I think he's supposed to be the son of the man who owns the cabin. So the Tanner family does not own this cabin. They're just allowed to stay there on occasion.
No, I think it's his cabin.
He is the same age as Mr. Tanner.
That's funny because I read somebody was writing up on this and they made that whole it was bothering them so much, like what I always do, that they looked it up afterwards and they were only like 4 years apart.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to be an old man.
He was supposed to be the old man then that helped
Mr.
Tanner when Mr. Tanner was a boy.
He's supposed to be the old man that gave him the dusty old cabin with no electricity or plumbing.
To stay in.
To stay in while he had a nice house, yes.
Okay.
And also, this is Cleavon Little. He was from Blazing Saddles. He was like their star guest.
Well, this is a really sad episode for him.
He plays sad really, really well.
I get. Well, I don't know if he does it well, but it's weird. So Mr. Foley stops by and he mentions that he's going to the hospital to deliver refurbished toys to the kids.
Yeah.
Because that's what he does, is he takes old toys and cleans them up and then delivers them to sad kids at the hospital on Christmas.
Dressed as Santa.
Yes, he dresses as Santa. And meanwhile, Alf climbs into the back of his truck and just hangs out there. But Mr. Foley gives Mr. Tanner, like, an envelope before he drives off. And tells him not to open it till Christmas.
Yes. That's, and it's clear that important. Something is getting under his skin, that he's not doing so well during this holiday
well,
season.
Well, it's revealed that his wife died 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
So
he's not so happy.
This is already an extremely depressing Christmas episode. He just is like, my wife's dead.
Oh, it hasn't even started yet.
So then at the hospital, Mr. Foley, you know, Alf had to think quick. So he pretends to be the weirdest stuffed animal ever, I guess. Mr. Foley is dressed as Santa and he has all these toys that he's handing out to the kids. And this weird little girl thinks that Alf calls her a she, and she's like, she's beautiful, and takes Alf to her room and names her Amanda.
Yes.
And then a nurse comes in and takes Amanda's temperature, or Tiffany's temperature, and then takes Alf's temperature, and she's just basically playing, like, toys with Alf, who she calls Amanda.
Because there is nobody in her room, because we find out that she used to have a bedmate, like, on the other bed, and yes, the parents removed that child because she was too depressing mm-hmm. to be around.
Yes, because she's gonna die. Also, where is this girl's family?
She is totally...
She has no family. She's a little kid in a hospital. And the nurse doesn't even really care.
Oh, yeah, the nurse is totally I don't have time for
this
bullshit.
I'm gonna go write in your chart. Bye.
Yeah. We find out that, yes, this little girl is on her deathbed,
mm-hmm.
all alone, and so she now has this Alf that she thinks is
a
girl stuffed animal.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to brush it, and it's going to be her new best friend because she's so sad and lonely and miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to jump in here and give a little bit of the backstory.
On Tiffany.
Tiffany is an actual person. We know this because at the very end of the episode, we'll reveal a little interesting factoid that if you hadn't gotten punched in the gut enough through this episode, you will get beat down hard.
Merry Christmas.
So Tiffany was a real person. What happened was I found this Yahoo article where it was years and years after this episode came out, years after Alf was done. So Paul Fusco, the creator of Alf and the voice and all that, did this interview, and he revealed, because this episode went on in years to come as like a head scratcher, he talked about why they made this episode in the first place, where it came from.
Okay.
What happened was, in the heyday of Alf, he used to get a ton of make-a-wish requests.
Oh.
A ton, especially from doctors of children who were sick, and all they wanted was to meet Alf because he was the coolest thing ever. And one of these make-a-wish letters was from a girl named Tiffany Lee Smith. She was a real 9-year-old girl.
She's not the one acting in this,
no,
though.
No, that's okay. Just an actress. A 9-year-old girl from the Midwest who had leukemia. And she wanted to just meet Alf. So this is a true story. NBC figured out a way to do a video conference because they couldn't be there with all the, like, you know, stuff.
With four puppeteers.
So they do a video conference and set it up. And Alf and Tiffany actually have a conversation. And what's interesting is somebody films the whole thing.
What? Did you watch it?
I haven't seen it. I didn't even look into it. I kind of didn't want to.
Yeah,
it's a little depressing. We have two daughters,
yeah,
and I don't need to even kind of go down that road. But so they're having this conversation. Paul said that all he did, which he did with all these kids, was just try to keep it really lighthearted, not bring any awareness to the fact they knew it, that he would just try and make them laugh and make jokes and stuff like that.
Ugh.
So they had a really good conversation, and then they parted ways. It was just, you know, what you do. He did his part. It should have
ended there.
Should have ended there.
But
what happened in true corporate America is, then NBC president, his name was Brandon Tarkenkoff.
Oh, I remember him because he was on an episode of Saved by the Bell.
Was he?
Yeah.
Boy, he really had his hand in it, huh? He saw this and he got this brilliant idea. This is the Christmas episode we've been waiting for. We need to write an episode about Alf visiting a dying little girl
in a
hospital.
What a weird thing to do.
Yes, I know. So not only is it weird, but let's exploit an actual girl's illness for, like, ratings, because this is gold.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, the Tartikoff, I don't remember exactly, but the episode of Saved by the Bell he was on, I feel like it's the I'm So Excited drug episode, because I think at the very end, all of the cast, they're, like, coming out of character, and they're like, drugs are bad. And he's like, hello, I'm Brandon, blah, blah, blah.
Really?
I feel like that's it.
We should do that episode. Is that a 90s episode?
I'm so excited. No, I don't know.
I really hope it's an 80s episode. I want to do that one so bad.
Okay.
So he's the one that got the bright idea.
He's like, let us exploit a dying child.
He's like looking around, being like, is nobody else seeing that we should definitely tell this little girl's dying story as an episode of Elf?
He's a dying child and his eyeballs turn into dollar signs.
Right, exactly. So writer Steve Hollander gets approached, and he has to write this episode.
What?
So they interview him, and he said his whole approach to this was, what do you say to a child that is not going to see another Christmas?
Oh.
What the hell?
Nothing.
Who okayed any of this? It's like, this is
a family thing.
Let's do this. This is going to be great. This is going to be the Christmas episode everybody's been waiting for.
What?
So that's how this whole thing started, is that when we meet Tiffany on this episode, keep in mind from here on out, this was based on an actual 9-year-old girl with leukemia.
Do you know, and maybe I'm jumping ahead, but do you know what Tiffany's family thought of this?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in a sec. Yeah.
I'm very curious.
So we'll go back to, now that you know that, she's okay. In the room, miserable, all alone, and she finds out that Alf, he kind of breaks character.
Well, she's going to put earrings on him.
Yeah, he can't deal with that.
He can't even be quiet. It's the 80s. Yeah. So he levels with her, and so she decides she's going to take him back to, what is his name? Mr. Foley, dressed as Santa Claus, and exchange him for, like, a stuffed bear or something, just so he can find his way back to the Tanner's house.
Yeah. Did you also catch what happened here?
Huh?
Do you know what her Christmas wish was?
What?
To meet Santa.
Oh.
And Alf just totally crushes that dream by admitting that Mr. Foley was the guy who drove him here.
Oh, that's too bad.
Just crushing dreams of a girl with cancer.
So she gets the switcheroo for a bear, and that's, we think, the end of Tiffany.
Yes.
Not as in she died, but we think she's out of the story by now, because it goes on to Mr. Foley talking to a doctor. He gives the doctor a check and tells the doctor, it's an envelope, but he says, don't open this till Christmas. And the doctor's like, do you need a receipt? And he says, no, don't worry about it.
And he also reveals, the doctor reveals here that Tiffany
is gonna die.
Terminally ill. There's nothing they can do. And Alf kind of sitting to the side and overhears it and decides, okay, well, maybe I should go back in there and try and cheer her up, because Tiffany has no friends and instantly thinks Alf is her BFF forever. And this is where we find out, because we get one of the most depressing scenes in the entire episode.
He tries to relate to her, because she knows they like make a weird connection about her leaving the earth, you know.
Do you remember why they have this conversation?
Because he says that he's left his planet in his home.
Yes, but even before that.
What?
Because she draws a picture of her and Alf, but she has angel wings on.
Oh, yeah.
How depressing is that?
I don't know. Kids draw themselves with wings all the time.
Not kids dying from cancer.
Well, whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, so they talk about him missing Melmac and all that he's learned while he was here. And then Tiffany explains that Christmas is about giving of yourself.
Yes.
So we learn a very important lesson, and he gives her some hope about the next, what comes after death.
Right. And then he cries. We get an Alf tear.
So then we go back to the Tanner family, a natural, like, just jump back, and they've realized they've been gifted the cabin by Mr. Foley. They open their present early, which is rude, by the way.
Also, it's nighttime, and they're just now like, wait a minute, where's Alf?
Yeah, he's they realize he's missing
for the entire day.
And he's staying with Tiffany while she reveals her fear of death. He stays with her all the way until she sleeps. And the family begins, we're like flashing back and forth, and now the Tanners go out in the forest looking for Alf, which right. 8 hours later, what are you going to do? You're going to walk out in the forest and find him?
Yeah.
No, you're not gonna. But it starts to snow at this point, and they become concerned after a million hours about what happened to their alien friend.
Yes.
In the forest. And then back at the hospital, what's the next natural thing? A woman comes in labor.
And oh, gosh. This scene.
This is stupid. So it's this
so stupid.
Whole comedy of errors. There's a woman in labor, and Alf has hidden under her gurney. Because he's wandering the hospital and like takes cover underneath a gurney, and she ends up through a stupid series of accidents trapped inside of an elevator on the gurney with no doctor nor her husband. It's just her and Alf hiding under her gurney as she's in full labor.
Yes, and this was written in because the writers were so aware of how depressing this Christmas episode was that they were asked to put something
hopeful
and funny, some comedy relief. So they wrote in this whole scene of Elf delivering a baby in an elevator. Which is so out of place and inappropriate. And then this was the only time they're trying to get laughs. They even ruined that because after she gives birth, he suggests a name for this baby. The name is Tiffany.
Yep.
The child who is currently dying.
Well, just replace Tiffany, obviously. We got another girl right here.
How did anybody not say, like, on set, what the hell are we doing?
Also, what is with delivering babies in elevators?
They don't know.
In the 80s, I feel like every baby was delivered in an elevator.
Maybe.
And now, I've never heard of a single baby delivered in an elevator.
Yeah. And if you were worried that it was getting a little too playful and fun with the delivery.
Yeah.
No, because we're going to go ahead and bounce right here to a scene on the bridge. Let's go ahead and get this moment where it's snowing out and Mr. Foley is driving in the snow, crossing a really kind of precarious bridge.
Well, leading up to this, we kind of knew Mr. Foley wasn't okay because he mentioned his wife and
started giving all of his personal possessions
away. He gave
away
the cabin, we saw, and then the doctor opens up his check and confronts him about it, and he's like, this has to be your life savings. And he just is like, no, no, no. And then he gets in his truck, drives away, and what's he going to do?
Well, this is where he pulled up to a bridge and comes to a stop.
Stops in the center.
You paused it to get up and go do something, and as you got up to leave, you said, is he going to commit suicide? And then I just stayed totally quiet, and then we both busted up laughing, because yes.
Yep. So Mr. Foley, he's on the bridge, he's getting ready, he's like climbing one leg over, ready to jump, and Alf has climbed out of the back of the truck again, and he calls out to him, and then this is where, for some reason, Mr. Foley looks at Alf and decides he's Santa and describes him like a broad face and a funny looking this.
And a bowl full of jelly. And he's got this like, because he's like delusional at this point. Right?
Yeah.
I read a fun fact during the suicide scene of the Christmas special.
What?
When he was up there, I guess, you know, the actor was being really serious, trying to get into character, whatever.
How do you do that?
And of course, Fusco there, being the Alf character, was trying to break the ice and make it more funny.
What?
So, in character, this really happened. In character, Alf, this...
What?
Keep in mind, they're rolling. The actor is on a bridge, delivering his lines, pretending he's about to kill himself. And the guy playing Alf decides to say this instead. He ad-libs a little something.
What?
He says, jump. You got nothing left. You might as well do it. It's the right choice.
Oh, no. What?
And everybody on set flipped out.
Oh, my goodness. That's bad taste.
That is in bad taste.
Oh, my goodness. Instead, Alf decides to delegate the Christmas responsibility to Mr. Foley, thus giving him a reason to live. And he empathizes with him more about you know, loss of Melmac or whatever. And he turns it all around in, seriously, 1 minute. A man is ready to die, and now he's ready to go. He's ready to live.
He just needed a reason.
And he drives Alf home, drops him off to wait and watch him go down the chimney, because he is still convinced Alf is, in fact, Santa Claus.
No, and he's not going to leave.
He's got to see him go down the chimney.
Alf goes down. This was a funny scene, because Alf does that look where he's like, am I going to really have to do this? And then he uses some snow and throws it down the chimney to put out the fire.
The fire.
And then jumps down and gets stuck. And everybody's like, Alf!
Yes, he drops in upside down, and it's like, wah, wah, wah.
It's more of a classic kind of episode right there.
And then we have next final scene. Mr. Foley is visiting Tiffany, and then the Tanner family comes in because Alf has filled them in on his adventures. They come in with gifts for Tiffany. Again, where is Tiffany's family, her parents, her social worker, foster parents?
Nowhere to be found.
Nobody. She's fully alone.
She's abandoned on
in
Christmas.
Hospital.
With leukemia.
So they come in. They've got Tiffany gifts. They give Mr. Foley his cabin back. They're like, we'll just stay there sometimes.
Right.
And that's fine.
I think it's because Tanner realizes he doesn't want to pay taxes on it.
Partially that, but also they didn't want to take it from him.
Right.
So then Tiffany cries and looks out the window where she sees Alf, who is staring very emphatically from the car.
Yes.
Like, piercing gaze. He's telling her something with his eyes, but he's a puppet.
It just, that scene is just her looking out the window all alone. It's heartbreaking. And you know what? The writers discussed this.
Mm-hmm.
Should we end it where, like, she's cured or there's a Christmas miracle kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
And they all agreed, absolutely not. We are going to make sure that she does not get any help at the end. Why would you ever write that for a sitcom's Christmas special?
I kept thinking, like, I haven't seen Alf in so long. I was like, does he have magical healing powers that he's going to break out here? Like some alien powers? But no.
Yeah, no. They just let it happen.
And he doesn't even come in to, like, say, I'll be your friend till you die or whatever. He just looks at her like, I can't handle seeing you face to face anymore.
Yeah, and you were asking about the parents
uh-huh.
in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So they said that after that video conference that her spirits were lifted.
Okay.
And it was really nice.
Good.
She made it 1 month and then died.
Aww.
At age 9.
No.
And it is so depressing. And the fact that these idiots, like NBC execs, were like, you know what? We're going to honor her by making, like, a comedy.
Well, at the end, they do say in loving memory of Tiffany, so it's good, right?
Imagine watching this episode when they don't even end it on a positive note. They just end it her all alone, depressed. Alf abandons her. She's looking out the window, sad and alone, ultimately knowing she will never see another Christmas.
Well, I don't know. I mean, part of it would be, I think it would almost be worse for if she had actually died in real life and then they watch this and she survives, because I think that would be equally heartbreaking because that wasn't their reality. I think the truth is they shouldn't have touched that.
It was so weird.
Oh, it's so upsetting.
And
why would
so
they do that?
It so abruptly goes to the in loving memory of.
Yes. And you're like, whoa, somebody named Tiffany died.
So one of the biggest comedy sitcoms of the 80s does a Christmas special that includes, like, abandonment as a child, like losing your home as a child, children with
yes.
cancer that are going to die, people who are committing suicide. It is such... This episode makes no sense.
It's bonkers. And nothing is... Beyond Mr. Foley not committing suicide, everything else is the same.
It's miserable.
And also, once his Santa duties are done on Christmas, what's he going to do with the rest of his life? Considering that he was suicidal moments before. Maybe he should get some mental health help?
No.
Just a wild suggestion.
I just don't know. I don't know why any of this ever happened.
Oh, no.
That's the Christmas episode.
Yay.
That is Alf's Christmas special. And then they went on to have a couple more seasons. And then it abruptly got canceled. Basically, like, as abruptly as this episode ended. It got canceled a little
mm-hmm.
prematurely because the ratings were starting to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And just the whole... Alf in general, just being filled with, like, just bad energy and this sadness and depression and anger and everything else. When it ended on the final day, you know, usually there's this big goodbye party like and everybody party. Celebrates working together for years and years of their lives. So the guy, his name was Max, who played Willie Tanner, the dad, because he was the one who like beat up the Alf doll and constantly complained about it. He, without any warning, just walked into his dressing room, grabbed his bags, and left. Didn't say goodbye to anybody or anything. He was done with
this. And he works with, like, kids.
Yes!
What a weirdo.
He just left. It was so bizarre. And then we're going to follow up now.
Okay.
On what happened post-Alf.
Okay.
And we're going to start with Max, the father.
Okay.
He dove into a world of pure seclusion and isolation. He was incredibly private.
Okay, that's fair.
Right. Until a scandal broke out.
What?
And this is bad.
Oh, no.
2001, National Enquirer breaks a scandal, posting front page photos.
But it's National Enquirer.
Film stills. You take it or leave it. Film stills. Of him, clearly multiple shots, the footage was obtained of him smoking crack, having sex with homeless men in a gay porn, a homemade porn.
What?
It broke, made national news. It was a huge scandal. Nobody from Alf's, like, family came to his defense. They just let him take it. And he spiraled from then, and he later had a few more convictions of DUIs. His wife eventually left him, and he just got more and more secluded. And last that I knew, he moved to Germany and lived with one of his lovers, and then died. This year, he just died of cancer. And because he was so isolated from his family and had no contact with anybody, nobody's actually sure where he died. If it was California, New Jersey, Germany, he just cut himself off from the
world.
Does
he have kids?
I think he did. But yeah, he did for sure, because the daughter said he died in like Jersey and the son said California. And like he had no contact with anybody.
Oh, weird.
So he fell into this massive drug addiction, like crack addiction.
Well, he was a clearly closeted gay man who was dealing with a drug addiction as well.
And he just...
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
It's
sad.
Super sad. And so after Alf was canceled, he just spiraled. One of his, like, former lovers, like, openly just took the check and dished all the dirt to the National Enquirer and said, yeah, that they used to pay, like, $200 and go pick up homeless men to just go, like, have sex with. And then it all came together on this homemade porno that got leaked to the National Enquirer. And they, of course, posted it because they're horrible human beings. And that was his life. He was just miserable on set, miserable after, and then just ultimately died in seclusion.
Did anybody from the show end up okay?
Yeah, I think most of the rest kind of finished off fine. It was kind of weird because Alf himself, like the character Alf,
I was gonna say, Eric, he's a puppet.
Yeah. So a lot of people were really disturbed by the way it just ended. Kind of like how Twin Peaks just ended.
I don't remember how it ended, so it was like a cliffhanger? And
yeah, it definitely
was
a cliffhanger. Yeah, but what happened was that they had been given word that they were going to get picked up for another season, and then they didn't. So it was kind of like what happened with Twin Peaks, where they weren't quite ready for it to be done, and then it just ended. And so they did in 96, they ended up doing a made-for-TV movie.
That's weird. That many
years
later?
To try and wrap it all up.
Was Mr. Tanner in it?
Yeah, I would think so. I've never seen it.
Okay.
But it basically was like, okay, here's the proper ending so that we can end it. So that happened. And then between then and a few years after that, Paul, who did the voice and character of Alf, would kind of make little appearances and try to just keep him in the spotlight as much as possible.
Yeah, what else has that guy got going?
And then in 2004, created the Alf Hit Talk Show, which is a hilarious name. Like, that's really implying that it's going to be successful.
Uh-huh.
It was on TV Land. Only had 7 episodes and got canceled. I actually found out in 2009 on this site it was voted one of the 10 worst talk shows in TV history.
Yeah, I believe that.
By 2012,
okay.
I think somewhere around here, I read a quote from Tina Fey, who was working at NBC at the time. They did this like reunion show of all these characters and like famous celebrities from 80s sitcoms, and they invited Alf to come back on. And she said of everybody, the Alf crew was the biggest pain in her ass. Like, they were just so hard to work with.
Oh.
Like, the puppets and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, part of that's just got to be the logistics.
Yeah, but I guess they were just kind of difficult in general. But in 2012, it was announced that Sony had bought the rights to Alf. And the same producer that did the Smurfs reboot was going to do, like, a live animation kind of adaptation of Alf. And then that didn't happen, to my knowledge.
Okay.
I'm going to 100% say it's because Smurfs sucked. Yeah. And somebody was like, you know what?
Let's stop.
We rolled the dice and they failed miserably. Let's not do the Alf thing on top of that.
I think that's fair.
Let's not drive this nail further into the coffin. And then that was basically it. That was Alf. That was the life of Alf. And there you go. This is the weird world that included easily one of the most bizarre Christmas specials of all time.
It was very weird because they tried a couple times to like swing it positive, but it was just like, oh, never mind. Buzzkill.
Also, this is not us spinning it to be like, isn't this depressing? The acting and the tone of this entire episode was so depressing.
It really is.
It was incredible. And when there was like fake laugh tracks, it was awkward. It was awkward. It was so bad. And that's our Christmas episode, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
from Laser Graves to you. This is the true, sometimes, you know, what is that? That truth is stranger than fiction sometimes. Yeah. This is absolutely one of those cases. The rabbit hole and spiral of the Alf character and story is just weird. That's it. That's all we got for you. This is our happy holiday episode.
Yay!
We are going to be cramming in one more 2019 episode.
We're going to squeeze it out for you at the very end.
Because we have a new episode every Tuesday, which means we're going to have a special New Year's Eve episode.
Oh, yeah.
Going into 2020, wink, wink.
It's a hint.
So come back next week for our New Year's Eve episode. I'm glad that we could really lift your spirits. And we hope you're having
a good time. Go have a great time with your family.
That's right. And if you like what you hear, please spread the word. Tell your friends. Continue to follow us and download, rate, review, subscribe.
Please don't forget to rate and review. Only if you got positive things to say. We don't care if you have bad stuff.
Yeah, that's right. If you're going to pull a Mr. Foley, then get out of here.
Don't do it.
We are anywhere you can get podcasts, like iTunes and Podbean and Spotify and all that. Mm-hmm. We're also on Instagram at Laser Graves. My personal site is on Instagram, Death at 33 RPM.
I'm at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And that is our episode. And thanks for listening.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Bye.